Glad you could join us. I'm glad that your Labor Day weekend plans involved your being here. And if you're listening to this recording later because your Labor Day plans didn't let you here, I trust that you had a blessed Labor Day celebration, Labor Day weekend celebration. So if this is your first Sunday here, so good to have you. I had a number of things running through my mind as I was preparing for this morning and thinking about what to share. As you know, as many of you know, last weekend we had our discipleship training summit held here. So we had some fantastic messages over the weekend. Andy Bird was here Friday night. S.J. Hill shared several times through the weekend. Just remind you again, those messages are on the website. So if you didn't get to hear them, you can listen to them there. You can listen to them, you can download them. If you go to our website, exploreLivingHope.com, you'll find them there. I encourage you to do that if you haven't heard them especially. I encourage you to do that. So anyway, from last weekend, I had all these things running through my head. There's a lot running through my head from last weekend. But I'm thinking, okay, well, we're in this study in Ephesians, so I need to go back to Ephesians. And then, of course, I'm thinking, well, it's Labor Day. I guess I could talk about Labor Day. I mean, when's the last time a pastor preached about Labor Day? That's not a very spiritual holiday, is it? Like, what do you say about Labor Day? Well, God has a cool way of doing this. He just sort of blended all three of those together. So stick with me. Let's go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4, if you're using one of the guest Bibles under the chair in front of you, you'll find we're on page 829. Ephesians is in the New Testament. Probably about halfway back through the New Testament, the letter to the Ephesians written by Apostle Paul. So, I wanted to jump back into Ephesians, and then we'll see where the Lord takes us in some of these other things I was mentioning. I saw a lot of connections between some themes from last week. As we go back to our Ephesians study this morning, you may remember that it's been a number of weeks now, but we spent several weeks on that all launched off of this one phrase in Ephesians 4. It's actually Ephesians 4:17. Paul said this. He said, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do." Some translations say as the rest of the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. And then he goes on from there. And from that verse where Paul is saying, look, if you're a follower of Christ, your life changes. It has to change. This is not just some saying a prayer and then going on like it never happened. Your life needs to change. And you can't live like the rest of the Gentiles, those who are far from God. So from there, we spend some time in those next several verses that talk about kind of this process of people kind of walking away, falling away from God. And then from there, we bounced over to Romans 1 the following week. And we looked at several verses out of Romans 1 where Paul describes this, what we call a downward spiral. I don't know if you were here that morning. Those two messages were called Dark Knight Rising. The Romans 1 part was the second part of that. They're on the web also. But we talked about this downward spiral. Let's just review that briefly. Very briefly, a downward spiral. This is starting in verse 18. It says that they suppress the truth. They no glory or gratitude. They did not give God glory, and they did not thank him. So these are all these steps away from God. Their futile thinking, their foolish hearts were darkened. It led to sexual impurity. It led to worshiping the creation. Paul says they worshiped created things rather than the creator. Keeping on down the list, that led then to shameful lusts. Following that, a depraved mind. And following that, celebrating immorality. It says, Paul says, not only do they practice these things, but they approve of those who practice all these vile things. So this is this downward spiral that we talked about. So I wanted to get back to that because, you know, nowhere in Scripture does God ever give us the bad news without following with what, Paul? Without following with the good news, yeah. And the worst thing we could do in our study on Romans is just to go away saying, yeah, that's right, you know, we're screwed up, the world's screwed up, this is a miserable place, and it's just bad, it's really bad right now. The question is, and this is what is in your notes that I call this Romans 1 reversal, we'll get to that in just a minute. So this downward spiral, that we talked about. I don't know about you, but to me, when you hear the word downward, or the phrase downward spiral, it's kind of this idea of once something gets started in the wrong direction, it just kind of keeps on going, right? How many people have you heard saying, well, I started messing with marijuana, and 6 months later, 9 months later, 12 months later, I was doing hardcore drugs, and I woke up one morning and I said, how did I get here? Did you ever hear a testimony like that? You know, maybe for me it was just a bottle of wine on the weekends, or, you know, maybe it was just, I just spent just like 30 seconds on a pornographic site. And 6 months later, I couldn't believe where I ended up. It's this downward spiral where it kind of is self-propelling. Now, isn't it great how when you make a decision to surrender to Jesus, when you make a decision to surrender to Jesus, I'll put the first part up here, that this magic, automatic, upward spiral starts where everything in your life just gets easy and it gets better and you find yourself holier and holier and more righteous every day. Why were you laughing? Did you laugh, Karen? Did I say something funny? I won't tell you what she just said to me. But that's not true, right? I mean, parts of that are, I mean, there are ways that God just shows up and surprises us. But what I would suggest, the Romans reversal is an ascending climb. It's a very intentional thing. We're going to look at these verses quickly because Paul gives them to us in Ephesians 4 as he goes on through. We're just going to look at them quickly and then just make a couple other tie-ins as we go. So let's keep reading. In verse 20, in Ephesians 4:20, Paul says this. He said, you, however, did not come to know Christ this way, referring to this downward spiral that people go through. You did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, now get this, this is where Paul gives us this reversal. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful natures, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So let's just look at those. There's three things Paul says. This is really, really simple, but really, really profound. What's the first thing he says? Now, we're reversing this Romans 1 downward spiral, and this is our upward climb, okay? We're saying, no, we're not going to get into this downward spiral. We're going to pursue the Lord, and we're going to go on this adventure. The first thing Paul says is put off. He says, put off to put off your old self. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Other phrases there could be to take off, to throw off, to stop, or to say, you know, this has to go. This has to go. We don't use the phrase put off a lot, but think of the word take off. You got to take off the old man. And Paul's saying that you have to get rid of all this stuff that used to define you, all this stuff that used to be such a part of your life. Now back to when I was being facetious, saying how isn't it wonderful how all this stuff just magically falls away? This can be difficult. It's not automatic. I wish I could say if you just pray the prayer, then this upward spiral, you'll just be drawn to a place of holiness and purity automatically. It can be hard. And I won't ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you in your heart can testify the more intentional you become in putting off the old man, what's the rest of the sentence, the harder it gets. The temptations actually get stronger. The more you say, I'm going to walk away from this, I'm going to put off the old man, and it's like, oh, I'm tempted more today than I was yesterday in whatever this particular area is. But Paul's saying you got to put it off. This is intentional. You got to put off the old man. It's not a complicated formula. And the good news is, with this, is that God helps us in this. The Holy Spirit helps us. We're not alone in the battle, but it's still a battle. We're not alone in the battle, but it is still a battle. And requires being intentional, putting off the old man. Let's just keep and walk through here. What's the next thing he says? You put off the old man, and then he says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. Ephesians 4:17, when we looked at that, Paul said that as people turn from God, their thinking becomes futile. That means worthless. Over in Romans 1, he uses that word again, futile thinking, and he says God even gives them over to a depraved mind. Now, I won't spend long on this, but please don't miss it. The renewal of your mind is of utmost importance if you are going to put off the old man and if you're going to be transformed, if you're going to see anything in your life change. I think one of the mistakes the church has made over the years is when we want to help someone grow in their life with Jesus, we focus on their old behaviors and we say, you've got to stop doing this and you've got to start doing this. It's behavioral modification. You've got to stop doing bad things and you've got to start doing good things. That's what conversion looks like, right? That's not untrue, but there's a huge part that Paul is saying here. You take off the old man, but then you have to be made new in your minds. What did Paul say in Romans 12? He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your minds. And don't miss that word renew. That's not implying just like a little tweaking or a little adjusting or just modify how you think a little bit. Renewing means renewing. You start over. You make it completely new. This is huge. This is huge. Andy Bird, last week, Friday night, we covered a lot of things. This great, great message. If you haven't heard it, you got to listen to it. But one of the things he really challenged us about is unbelief. He said one of the things he said was that America believes in God. Remember what he said next? America believes in God, but they don't believe what God can do. America doesn't believe what God can do. And you know what? I think the church is lumped right in with that. You know, we believe in God, but we don't always believe what God can do. When you look at belief and unbelief, faith, lack of faith, this sort of occurred to me in this language this way anyway, this week. Isn't faith really a system of thoughts and of thought patterns? Like, people that are people of faith are people that think differently. The centurion, Andy Bird talked about centurion, a fantastic, again, you got to listen to it, but he talked about the centurion who believed that Jesus could heal just by speaking the words. He thought about Jesus differently than anybody else did. His thoughts about Jesus and what Jesus could do were different than anybody else in his day. And Andy was drawing attention to that. S.J. said this. I quote from S.J. Hill, who said this Sunday morning. He said, what we think about God, and the way we see ourselves in relation to Him, especially in our struggles, are the two most important issues in our lives. That's what S.J. said. I'm going to say it again. What we think about God and the way we see ourselves in relation to Him are the two most important issues in our lives. I just continue to see more and more in scriptures. One of the key elements in a person being transformed from following their flesh to following God is they have to think differently. Remember in the first Romans message, I said the issue is not people behaving badly, it's people thinking wrongly. And when you think wrongly, you will behave badly. But when you begin to have your thinking changed, your mind renewed. So how do you go about this? Again, I'm doing this real quickly, but I would just suggest these three things. They're in your notes. A new mind requires a new truth. You come across new truth in the Word of God. When you begin to read the Word, you come across new truths. Say, wait a minute, I always thought I had to perform for God. I always thought that somehow at the end of my life would be measured by whether I did more good things than bad things. You come to the Word and you realize that's not true. That's not true. What's actually true is the key element in your life is what you do with Jesus Christ. So you come into that new truth. You come into new truth about how God feels about people, starting with you, how He feels about people around you. So you have this new truth, and with new truth, then you build this new foundation. You can build this whole new foundation to thought patterns based on new truth from the Word of God. Then you have to deal with a new diet. Oh, yuck. You hate the term diet, right? What I'm talking about is, what are you feeding your mind? If you want to renew your mind, how will dwelling on negative things, dwelling on lustful things, dwelling on hateful things, how will that help in the renewal process? It's just going to sidetrack it constantly. So this is like this one-minute challenge here about part of our not mind being renewed is God's work. Part of it is us participating in the renewal process, and we do that in large part by what we think about. Okay? That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple stuff. Okay, we got to keep moving here. Then we go from, we put off, Paul says, then we are to be made new in the attitude of our minds, and then the next step, obviously, is to, in verse 24, put on the new self. What, take off the old, put on the new. Pretty simple, right? Easy to do, right? Probably not as much. Put on the new self, and get this, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you know that each of you have been created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness? But the thing that's shielding that is the old man. The thing that's shielding that and keeping that hidden away is your flesh. I don't mean your physical flesh. I mean the sinful nature that we're all born with. And Paul is saying you got to take that off. You got to put that down. You got to put on this new self. This new self. You got to put on a new self that's made to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Andy said this several times last week when he said, get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say to yourself, I am the righteousness of God. Do you remember him saying that? When you look at yourself and say, I am the righteousness of God. Now, I don't know what you thought of that statement, but it comes from Scripture. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5, I believe it's verse 21, he says, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. You can be the righteousness of God, not because you're any better than anybody else, but because of the work that Christ does inside of you. And if we get that, that has tremendous transforming power. Okay, so we go then to put on. Now, can I just share a couple thoughts for Labor Day? It's Labor Day weekend, right? What's Labor Day about anyway? I mean, who even knows, right? Organized labor, how do you feel about organized labor? I'm sure there's a lot of different feelings in the room about that. But I'm not going to talk about that. Let's just skip a few verses and go to verse 28. Let's skip just a few verses and look at verse 28. Ephesians 4:28, where Paul says this, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Now, this is fairly simple. Paul says, those who have been stealing have to stop stealing. Now, I was like, okay. You know, I guess that's the epitome of laziness. When you don't want to work to support yourself, you have to steal from someone else. And I could get into all the ways I think people are capable of doing that, especially in this day and age with some of the government programs that are around. I'm not going to go there. I probably shouldn't have even said that much, because now you're wondering what I was going to say. But I think there are people who earn a living dishonestly through various means. And Paul is saying you should not steal to support yourself. You should work with your own hands. You should work with your own hands so that you can pay your bills and live comfortably. Right? That's what it says, right? So you can pay your bills and live comfortably. No, that's not what it says. I'm stretching the truth again. That's not what it says. He says so that you can have something to share with those in need. It's an interesting twist that Paul does, this thing from taking to giving. He said, you should not steal to support yourself. You should actually work with your own hands so that rather than stealing, you can actually give. Now, I know that this might be one of these transformation things in the mind, but I think I've been raised, and I probably still feel in a lot of ways that the reason... Now, I feel a little differently about my employment because I'm in ministry now, but employment is a way to support yourself, right? Well, that's true. But I think Paul's saying it's more than that. Let me say this quickly. Maybe I'm the only one in the room that feels this way, but I'm going to say it. If anybody else agrees with me, that's fine. I think that when I come away from maybe a weekend like last weekend, or maybe a sermon, especially like Andy's, please don't misunderstand me, hear me the whole way out. When I hear Andy talk about circuit riders, and when I hear him talk about people who gave everything, they didn't have lives, they just rode horses for thousands of miles, preaching the gospel, you know, just this absolutely no, nothing held back commitment, all fired zeal for God. An unintended, absolutely unintended result sometimes for listening to a message like that, you might say, that's great, Andy, but tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to go work 8 hours in the factory, the same factory that I've been working in for 25 years. How can I make a difference? Tomorrow morning I'm going to get up like I do every other day, and I'm going to change diapers, and I'm going to chase kids around the house, and I'm glad that there are circuit riders out there that are turning the world upside down, but I'm not one of them. Because I'm just a regular person, I have a regular job, it's kind of boring to tell the truth, I don't even really enjoy it, but it's what I do to pay the bills. I don't know if anybody else can connect with that, but I can feel that way sometimes. So this is the Labor Day part of the message. Andy said, in that same message, he said that America is not closed to the gospel, but he said America is closed to the church. Do you remember him saying that? No, I think maybe the correct quote was America is closed to religion. To religion. So I'm thinking about this Labor Day, Paul's command here to work, that we might have something to share. And then I'm thinking what Andy said about America is really closed to religion. And then I'm thinking about what SJ said last weekend about everything we do is spiritual. Everything we do is spiritual. And these pieces just started coming together for me, and this is just sort of real-time processing that I'll share with you this morning. A month from now, I might say, well, that was totally wrong. But if, by and large, the American society is closed to the idea of religion and is skeptical about the church, do you believe that much of America is skeptical regarding the church? I believe that's true. If that's true, there have been books written about it recently about how this, especially the 20s and 30-somethings, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, are just totally turned off to the idea of organized religion. Well, then it seems to me like individuals who have a transformed mind, who understand that they are the righteousness of Christ, that go to the marketplace every day, they're the ones that are going to reach the generation. Those people aren't coming to hear me on Sunday. They're not coming to hear Josh. They really don't want to be here. But if you guys, and SJ really hit on this Saturday morning in the men's Q&A, he kept saying over and over, Ron can't do this, Ron can't do that, Ron can't do this. I'm like, why am I even here? I can't do any of this stuff. It's the guys in the marketplace. It's the people in the marketplace who are operating with a transformed mind, who understand that they are the righteousness of Christ, who rub shoulders with people that are so turned off to religion. What you're going to do in the marketplace is you're going to stir up some tension, like I said a couple weeks ago, because they're going to look at you, Jeremy, they're going to get to know you, and they're going to say, but wait a minute, the things I see in you doesn't square with everything I've been told about the church. Like, I've been told the church is you know, they're you know, hateful, and they're arrogant, and they're bigots, they're, you know, just all this terrible stuff, but yet there's this guy named Jeremy Hess, and I know he's a believer, and he's really starting to mess with my mind. Because he's not squaring up with everything that media is telling me and all my friends are telling me about the church. The only problem with this message is tomorrow's a day off. You have to wait another day to use it. But can we, I just want to encourage every one of you here that either has a mundane job, even if it's not mundane, it's like, well, Ron, it's not ministry. Like, I don't really minister to people. You know, whatever, I have a job I have to do. I'm pretty busy through the day. For you moms who you spend your days with that little kid or those little kids, man, you have the potential to change the world through what you do in those kids' lives. You have the potential to change this whole generation's attitude about faith. Let them keep hating religion. That's not a bad thing. But let them see what faith looks like. Let them see what a renewed mind looks like. Men, let your male coworkers see what it looks like for a man not to fall to pieces the minute a blonde walks into the room. Demonstrate that. Demonstrate that they'll look at you and say, whoa, what's wrong with you? When you don't participate in all this stuff, you know? All right. Here it is. This is sort of the summary. Go to work each day with a new mind and the righteousness of God, and you will have something to share. Now, I know Paul here is talking about, I believe he's talking about, you'll have something to share with those in need. He is talking about with material resources, but I want to sort of apply this verse a little differently to those of you in the marketplace and say, God is going to give you something to share there. He's going to give you something to share there as you're sharing out of a transformed mind. You're sharing out of an awareness that you are the righteousness of God. Not that you're better than anybody else, but God has changed you. You have this transformed mind, and you're going to share from that place. All right. Now, this is going to be pretty all-inclusive, but if you are not employed in ministry, if you have what we wrongly call a regular life, where you go to work, you raise your kids, you pay the bills, you do whatever it is you have to do, I want you to stand right now. So I should probably sit down. But anyway.
Can I stand up halfway?
I want to pray for you. Father, to a generation that has been turned off by the church and a lot of stupid stuff the church has done, God, you're going to use the people that are standing, whether it be through their influence on their children, whether it be through their influence in the marketplace, whether it be through their influence in their communities. These are the circuit riders that are going to carry your message. It's not glamorous, though. It looks like they're just going to work in a factory. No one will ever take notice of them. They're never going to lead, probably, big meetings with thousands of people listening to them. Their name is probably never going to be mentioned in a newspaper, on television, in a religious publication of some sort. These are the people that just go to work every day. They pay their bills. They raise their family. But as they do it, they're salt and light. So God, I pray for a new commitment and a new fire in every person here this morning, that they are the righteousness of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the sacrifice that God took their sin and placed it on Jesus. They now walk. They can walk in that righteousness and purity. Renew in every person here today, God, a sense of calling to what it is they do, even if they hate their job, even if they can't wait to find another one. Lord, I pray that you would not let them waste a single day where they ask this question, God, what do you want to do through me today at work? What do you want to do through me today in my house? What do you want to do through me today in my school, among my classmates, among my students as I teach? What do you want to do through me? How do you want to use just my demeanor, my personality, my love for you? How do you want to use that to deeply impact someone around me? So God, I commission these ministers to you today. I commission them in the name of Jesus to serve you with all of their ability, to serve you with all of their energy, to make a difference in a society that is turning its back on you. I commission them today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for coming, for being here this morning. I'm going to hang around up front, and there's probably a couple other people that will be up here to pray. If there's any way we can pray with you, I would love to pray with you simply about your job and how God uses you there. So if there's any way you can pray with you, come on up. Otherwise, we'll release you to get your students if they're out there. And God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy your day off tomorrow for those of you who have off. God bless you.